Psalm 23, the book of Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is something more than what we would read at a funeral service. Psalm 23 means more than that. It's helped a lot of people in funeral times and things of that nature. There was a great orator got up behind the podium one time at a church and said Psalm 23, recited Psalm 23, and I mean every word was pronounced correctly, and he was just a great speaker. When he got done, everybody just applauded. It was just great, and everybody just had a warm, fuzzy feeling. Then later on, a few Sundays later, they had a guest, old preacher, about 80 years old, and didn't have much of an education, and he got up and read the 23rd Psalm. And when he read, you could hear a pin drop in the whole building. Very silent, quiet. All of a sudden, he got about halfway down through the Psalm 23, and tears started flowing throughout the congregation. He got done. A little boy punched his grandmother and said, "Grandma, what was the difference in that great, great speaker and that old man?" He said, "Well, son, the first man knew the psalm. The second man knew the shepherd." There is a difference when you know him. Psalm 23, one of the greatest texts in all the Bible, and it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Heavenly Father, I pray today, God, that you'd bless the service. Lord, whatever goes on today, I pray, God, you'd put your hand upon it. Lord, you would, whatever you placed in my heart, Lord, I pray that you'd help me get it out. And Lord, anything that's done, Lord, I want it to glorify and honor you. And I pray today in Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Here in Psalm 23, it's just not a psalm. You have to put two other psalms with it. Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24. In Psalm 22, you see the cross. You'll see the cross in Psalm 22. It says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then in 23, you see the crook. You'll see the crook of a shepherd's. Now, this is not a shepherd's staff by any means, but this is all I could find. And the shepherd's crook looks something like this. And in Psalm 22, you'll see the cross. Psalm 23, you'll see the crook. And in Psalm 24, you'll see a crown. And in Psalm 24, you'll see where Jesus is going to sit upon Mount Zion. Psalm 22 is Mount Calvary. Psalm 24 is Mount Zion. And then in Psalm 23, you have, "Yea, though I walk through the what? The valley of the shadow of death." Psalm 23 is a valley between two great mountains. In Psalm 22, you have the grace of the shepherd. Psalm 23, you have the guidance of the shepherd. Psalm 24, you have the glory of the shepherd. Psalm 22, you see our substitute. Psalm 23, you see our shepherd. Psalm 24, you see our sovereign. Here in Psalm 23, tucked away between two mountains. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know where you come from today. I don't know where you're going or where you're headed, but I'm telling you this, you're not always going to live on top of the mountain. You're not always going to have a mountaintop experience. experience. There's going to be valleys. Roses don't grow in the mountains, they grow in the valleys. That's where the garden grows. That's where the work is done. We get up on the mountain just so we can see and bask in the glory. But my friend, sometime you gotta walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And God gives us this promise: when you do, you can fear no evil, for thou art with me. Here in Psalm 23, the valley of the shadow of death is actually a real place. The valley of the shadow of death is in the Jericho Valley. And this is a 2,600-mile expanse. And in the middle, the thing comes down like a V-shape, is the valley of the shadow of death in the V-shape. In David's day, it was a very tropical area. There was lions and tigers and bears, and all the kinds of things in the middle of that valley experience. And if the sun was shining straight overhead, there was light down in that valley. But if the sun was to the right or to the left, it cast shadows down in that V-shape. And when David would lead his sheep, he would lead them to pasture. He says, "He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Leads me to the green pastures." And he leads them, and there were shadows cast all around. And he called it the valley of the shadow of death, because those little sheep are very, very vulnerable, and they're close to danger if they don't stay near the good shepherd. My friend, ladies and gentlemen, that's why it says a shadow of death. A shadow has never killed anybody. It might have made you almost kill yourself, but a shadow has never killed anybody. All a shadow can do is spook you and scare you. But my friend, that's all it is. The devil will cast a shadow, but you can look at the great shepherd. You can lead and follow him, and he'll lead you to green pastures. The V-shape valley. It is a real place. It's a very dark place in some instances. That's why when David wrote this, he was an older man, and he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, as I am to these sheep. The Lord is that to me." And ladies and gentlemen, he says this. He says about in verse number 4, he said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." You say, "Preacher, what do they do with a rod and a staff?" Well, there's two different things. The staff was something that the shepherds used. And sometimes those sheep going through that different expanse and whatever, they would trip and fall off of a rock and get down there where the shepherd couldn't get. And he would turn that thing upside down, and he would pick them up under their arms and put them back on the path. That sheep couldn't get to the shepherd, hallelujah, but the shepherd went to the sheep and didn't leave him out there by himself, but the shepherd went to where he was and picked him up out of a horrible pit, placed him on the solid rock, established his goings, put a new song in his heart, even praise under our God. Stay in your seat, don't get excited, but that's a whole lot better preaching than what you're giving credit to. I'm telling you, when he came and found you, he came to where you was. You couldn't get to him. You was in a bad spot. You couldn't get out of the hole you was in. You had a briar patch all around you. But I'm telling you what, the good shepherd reached down with the staff of grace and brought you up from a place you couldn't get up out of by yourself. And he put you on the right path. And he said, "Follow me, I'll bring you to green pastures." Hallelujah. Well, I didn't feel like preaching, but I sure do now. Hallelujah. He said, "Thy rod and thy staff." He used the staff for the sheep. The rod was another instrument, not like this one, but a rod, he had another one. It didn't have nothing. It had old, just an old knot. They'd find an old tree, and they'd find one that had old knots in it. And they would use that as a rod. That wasn't for the sheep. That was for the predators. And lions would come out. Old David killed a lion, killed a bear, killed Goliath. Hallelujah. Yeah. He'd take that rod, and boy, they'd get that lion, and he'd beat them lions. Him sheep, hey, have y'all ever known? Hey, an eagle has claws. A bear has claws. A lion has sharp teeth. A snake has fangs. But a sheep has no way to protect itself. unless some... Hey, you know something else about sheep? I've been studying sheep a long time. I've preached this message a bunch of times all over the country. And I'm telling you this, every time I study it, I find something out that's different. And I love sheep. I want to raise sheep. If I had the means to do it, I want to. And they told me, they said, every pastor ought to raise sheep about 2 years before they start pastoring. I said, well, I want to. And them sheep, they can't defend themselves. They got to have a shepherd. You won't find a sheep out there, out in the wild. Sheep belong to somebody. Sheep are purchased and bought. Hallelujah. Well, some of y'all about to get it. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, I dare to even try this. And I want you to just stay calm. If this don't work, we're not going to mess the sermon up. We're just going to keep on preaching and go on. But, Eric, if you can hear me, I brought a sheep to church today. I'm thinking about Ray. Hey, step out there and tell Eric to pay attention to the sermon. Here he comes. Just sit down right there and hold him for a second. And he's not used to being in front of a bunch of other sheep. And he's just sitting there, and that little sheep right there, that little lamb, he wouldn't make it unless somebody was watching after him. That little sheep, if we took it, hallelujah, if we took that leash off, that lamb, he'd run off the back door. We never could catch him. He'd have to have somebody to come and get him. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. God didn't compare God's people to bears. Surely He could have compared us to a bear or a lion or something. But ladies and gentlemen, He compared us to the dumbest animal out there. I say that, and Eric, you're supposed to cover his ears when I say dumb. I say dumb because he couldn't get food. He couldn't get anything if it wasn't for somebody taking care of him. They're sheep. Sheep. They're dumb. They wander off. They got a shepherd. They got good water. Y'all listen. They got water. They got nice green grass. And you know what? Sheep will wander off on Sunday. Sheep will wander off on Sunday and won't show up to get grass and water. Oh, yeah. We finna preach. Yes, sir. That's how dumb sheep are. They wander off, and if they didn't have a shepherd, you say, why is the preacher always... He's trying to say, hey, we miss you at church, miss you at church. That's, the shepherd's trying to say, get back in church. You just wandering off and you can't make it. You think you can make it without the shepherd, but you can't make it without a shepherd. You say you can't. I'm telling you, you can't make it. These sheep, the desert wind and the dirt gets in their eyes. It gets in their eyes and they can't see. And that they get behind them other sheep and that dirt and everything gets up in their eyes. And listen, folks, if it wasn't for the shepherd, when they come in at night, he brings them into the fold, and he gets his handkerchief out, and he puts some oil on there. And he says, look here, fella. Look here, let me get that out of your eyes. Look at there. Yeah, you've had a rough day, haven't you? Oh, yeah. Look at there. Can't you see better now? Ain't no telling what you'd do without me. Folks, how many times you couldn't see your way home and the shepherd come got you. And you couldn't see. And he'd wipe them eyes where you could see your way home. These sheep, they can't see but about 30 feet in front of them. Their vision gets blurry. Now you take a dog, we did this one time over in Atwood, you take a dog, and man, we did this in Atwood one time. I took a dog off, they was always dropping dogs off, and I'd take them to a member's house that I didn't like and drop him off over there. And I'd drop them off, and y'all not gonna believe this, that dog would beat me home. I get home, I say, Tracy, where's that dog? He said, well, right there on the front porch. I said, well, that won't happen no more. And so I took him off. I'm talking about took him way off in the woods and dropped him off. And I called Tracy on the way home. I said, is that dog there? She said, yep, he's right here. I said, I guarantee you that ain't happening again. And son, I drove for miles and miles and miles back off in the woods somewhere, and I dropped that old dog off. And I tried to get back home. I finally called Tracy. I said, Tracy, is that dog at the house? She said, yeah. I said, put him on the phone. I'm lost. Hallelujah. That woke some of you up, didn't it? All seriousness, you can do a dog that way and it find its way back. But honestly, now listen, you take that little lamb right there, you drop him off somewhere, he won't make it back to here. He won't find his way back home. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, you can get out from church, get away from church, get away from the shepherd, get away from the good food and the water. And you think you can make it on your own? You can't make it without a shepherd. You got to have the good shepherd to lead and guide and direct you. These little sheep that can't see. And sometimes they get foggy up there in them mountains. It gets foggy up there in them mountains. And the sheep way behind can't see. And so every now and then, that shepherd, he'd take a stick. And them sheep hear that shepherd knocking. And they can't see. They can't see. They can hear. I was watching a documentary on this, and I've done some study on this, and I find out all this kind of different things. And I found out by watching that, and I talked to sheep herders, and they would have all of their sheep. All their sheep would just be tied in together. And the shepherds would go up on a little hillside and start eating lunch. And all of their sheep was just intertwined all down there. There's grazing in the field, and all these shepherds are up here eating lunch. They're watching. And I asked one of the shepherds, I said, now tell me something. How y'all know what sheep belongs to who? He said, let us finish our lunch and we'll show you. I said, all right. So I'm just waiting. I can't wait. I can't wait. Eric, don't choke it, lamb. I got him borrowed. We got to take him back. They got done eating. One of the shepherds walked on the edge of the hill and went, woohoo, woohoo, hop! Them little sheep. Only certain ones of them stopped eating. They went. They took up off the side of the hill. Another shepherd walked up there. He did another little call, a little something a little different. And the only ones would quit grazing. And here they'd take off after the one that called them. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with us? John 10 says, my sheep know my voice. And they follow me. And a stranger they won't follow. Listen, folks, this morning, you need to know the voice of the shepherd. You need to know enough of the voice of the shepherd to drown out all the other voices that you hear. There's voices that come through loud and clear. They'll come through the television, and there's voices that'll speak to you, and there's voices that you don't need to hear. There's voices of doubt. There's voices of depression, and voices of all these different things and distress will be coming into your ear. But my friend, the voice of the shepherd will drown that out. And one of these days, the good shepherd's going to step out over the hills of glory and make the call and say, come up hither, and all the sheep are going to quit grazing. And we're headed up to the house to meet the shepherd. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, friend. Yes. Blurred vision. They can't see. The Bible says in Psalm 23, thou anointest my head with oil. Those sheep, sometimes they'll get out there and that sun gets on top of their heads and starts burning the top of their heads like that right there. And so that shepherd, he'll get him a rag and put some of that oil on there, and he'll rub it on top of his head like that, so that sun won't burn his head. Aren't you glad when the sun beats down on you and you can't make it another day and you don't know which way to go? The sweet shepherd of God Almighty will come down and pour the oil of grace. He'll put it, he'll anoint your head with oil, and your cup will start running over. And you can go on another day. You can go on another hour. You can go on another week or two. My friend, you better find you a good shepherd. You better find you a good shepherd. These sheep, they bring them into the fold. They bring them into the fold, and they pin them up, and they count 1, 2, 3, 4. They count them. The sheepfold, you look them up. The sheepfold, they don't have doors on them. Sometimes it's a hollowed out cave, open mouthed cave, and they'll herd them sheep up in that hole for the night. They don't have a door. They have a door. So what the shepherd does, he lays down over here at the door, the mouth of the, where the door is, and he lays down right there when he gets the sheep all in. And they can't get out unless they go through him. Y'all stay in your seat. Don't get excited. John chapter 10. John chapter 10 says, Jesus said, I am the door. If any man wants to come in, there ain't a Baptistry sitting here. There ain't the Baptist sitting here. There ain't the Methodist sitting here. There ain't the Presbyterian sitting here. It ain't a denomination that's going to get you in. It ain't a Baptistry that's going to get you in. It's one thing and one thing only, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the door. And if you want to get in, if you want to get in the sheepfold, you got to come in the same door all the rest of the sheep come in, and that's through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Ain't that right? These sheep, sometimes they wander off. If Eric was to let the leash loose, he'd take off, probably. We've been sitting patting him all during the song service and trying to get used to, you know, so we could do this. And I was hoping I was going to be able to carry him, but I don't know if I can and preach because he just gets... been out of shape, you know. Ain't it it's a female, ain't it? That's anyway. All the men are laughing. All the women. The sheep. Now listen, the sheep run off. And the shepherd, he counts them every night. 98, 99. Well, I'm going to have to go find somebody. Oh, hey, and the shepherd never gives up. He won't come back till he brings that sheep back. I said he won't come back until he brings the sheep back. He don't give up and wait an hour or two and say, well, I just can't find him. He don't give up till he brings the sheep back. He'll find him over in the briar patch. And he'll say, oh, look at there. Why'd you do that? Get back in here. He'll bring him in. And he'll say,
Well, you got them briars all over you. You're not supposed to do that. Hey, get them briars off. Don't that feel better? You ain't supposed to have them briars all over you. Get back in there with the rest of them. You're going to get hurt out here by yourself. Them bears and lions is out here. They're looking for somebody that's straggling back and not in church. And the devil's looking for somebody that's just wandering off out there by themselves and just looking for somebody to be over there in the shadows where they can get out and get you. No, you don't want to do that. Get back in there with everybody else. There's a night or two. 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. That's that same. I'm telling you, he's hard-headed. And this time, he's way on out there. He done got tied up in a bunch of stuff now. He done got dirty all over him. The shepherd picks him up, finds him, picks him up, brings him in. Cleans him off. Cleans him up. Puts him back in there. I said, listen, don't you know? Hey, I ain't going to leave you out there. I love the sheep. I'll do anything for the sheep. I lay my life down for the sheep. You stay in here. There'll be a night or two later. Y'all ready? Night or two later. That sheep done wandered off again. And this time, the shepherd does something a little different. He goes over to his little mantle. He puts his oil. He gets him 2 splints. And some bandages. He goes after the sheep. He finds that sheep. He wandered off. See, the shepherd can only jeopardize 99 others so many times. And then he's got to make a point. I mean, he's not just going to let you just do like you want to do. Now, you say, well, he lets me do. Well, you might be on the devil's side because he lets his do whatever they want to do. But now the Lord's not going to let you just do run around and whatever you want to. So this time, he puts on his shepherd's coat. He gets his staff, his rod. And he goes out and he finds that sheep. But this time, he finds him and he picks him up. And he picks him up, and I'm not going to try to do it, but he would pick him up just like this, around the belly. And he would take his 2 front paws like that in his front hands like that. He'd got his lamb under the shoulder, and he'd pull him front 2 feet and stretch him out like this. He'd take that rod and come across him front 2 legs. And that sheep would bleep. Oh, he'd cry and cry and cry. And then what he would do, he'd take that oil, and that sheep, boy, he'd holler. He'd take that oil, rub it down on them 2 broke legs. And he'd take that 2 splints. He'd put it down both sides of them legs. And he'd wrap it with bandages in front 2 legs. And inside the shepherd's coat, there's a sewn-in pocket right here. It's got holes here and holes that go back. And he would set that lamb. He'd put his front broke legs out in this way and his back ones this way. And he would close that coat like this, real tight. The old sheep's head sticking out right here, right up here by the shepherd. And he said, all right, let's go home. Tonight, the nights before when he went to bed, he heard the howlings of the wind and the wolves. But tonight, he hears something different. Ever been so close to the shepherd that you can hear his heartbeat? The little sheep would have never known the heartbeat of God if you've never been that close. Used to, the little sheep would have to go and get their own food. But the shepherd for the next few days feeds him right out of his coat. Right near the heart of the shepherd. Gives him a drink. Look at there. You need a drink? There you go. That little sheep will look up. He don't do it to punish. He does it to prove his love. He don't do it to punish. He does it to prove his love. Now tonight, he's up there. He used to hear the howlings of the wind. And now he hears, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." That little sheep, "Oh, I've never heard that before. And I've never been that close before. Lord, I thought you was trying to kill me. I thought you was trying to kill me. But all in all, you was just trying to bring me close where I could feel and hear your heartbeat." Some of you older sheep, you don't raise your hand. We know who you are. Older sheep. Sometimes them younger sheep bypass them older sheep. They zoom right past them, go right, trot up the hill. Them old sheep just lagging behind. The shepherd turns around. All the little young ones is behind. He looks back. He sees some of them older sheep back there. He says, "Oh, let me go." So, "We're almost to the house. We're almost to the house." And I wish, I don't know, he probably ain't going to let me. I tried it last night, and I don't know if he'll let me. But the shepherd would take them, both legs right here, them old sheep. They'd put them on top of their shoulders like this and say, "The house is just right over that hill. Come on, we'll go. You can ride with me the rest of the way." Y'all ought to be getting excited about that. Especially some of you older sheep, you're just lagging behind. Hey, he'll put you on his shoulders. "Hey, listen, it's after 12, but hang on. I got to tell you this. I just got to." Isaiah 9 and verse, you want to turn there? I'm just quoting it for you. Isaiah 9:6. Y'all ready? "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." One shoulder. On his shoulder. The government. The whole world. On one shoulder of the Savior. In Luke 15, it says he goes out and leaves the 99 and goes finds that one and puts him on his shoulders, plural. Now that may just wake you up about 2:00 in the morning when he gives the government just one shoulder. But he gives the sheep both of them. He said, "I can carry the government on one shoulder. But," he said, "the sheep, I'll give them both." And ain't it good to know the shepherd? It's good to know him. It is good to know.